Yeah, they really were three deserved goals, and that's production that we've come to expect from Atleti in a week, rather than just a singular 90-minute game.
Well, and it was a good performance as well. I mean, I think against Espanyol, who have been a tough team in La Liga the last few years, this was quite a decent performance. I know it was at home and coming off the back of some kind of crap results, but you'll take that one. I mean, I know they're in the bottom three as it is, but they still have some good players.
Yeah, it was home, and that's part of why I think the approach was a lot different. There was just so much more aggressiveness from both teams. Atletico, in a sense, kind of didn't really have a choice but to be more aggressive. Espanyol's pressing was really, really good. The passes per defensive action they allowed over these 90 minutes, very low, so Atletico had to break the press with really quick passing and counterattacking. And in the second half, really, honestly, after the first 15 minutes, this was all Atletico. Even after they went behind 1-0, Atletico were by far the better team after the first 15-20 minutes.
Yeah, Adelaide generated a lot of shots and some really good opportunities, I think. I mean, the Angel Correa chance, I think, was sort of fluky in a sense, and it was weird because of the VAR and how long it took, but I mean, he was basically stood on the goal line when he headed it in, so that's not too bad.
Have you ever seen Correa score a header? Because I can't remember one.
You wouldn't expect Alvaro Morata to feed Angel Correa for a header. Ideally, you'd want it to be the other way around.
I thought Morata was going for goal. I thought he was trying to flick it in inside the far post, but Correa got there, and I think it was going in anyway, before Correa got there.
Yeah, it might have been. I mean, there were a couple defenders around him as well, so they may have gotten it clear, but it was that was a weird goal in a lot of different ways.
It was very weird, and it went to VAR, and Morata was very clearly onside, so the goal was correctly given. Yeah, that is, I really think that's the first header I've ever seen Correa score. And for Angelito, I mean, that's awesome. You know, we talked about this on the last couple episodes. He's just been in awesome form. João Félix's injury was kind of like a blessing for him. That was a lifeline for him because his role in this team, over the summer we talked about it, it was not clear cut and it looked like he was going to be moved on. But he has taken this opportunity with João Félix out. He has just run with it.
Well, and we've seen that he works really well with Morata. And even now in this match, we saw with the Cholo, it works quite well with those two kind of switching around a little bit, taking up each other's positions and sort of floating around a little bit more. It works quite well. I mean, Morata clearly feeds off guys that are quick and have a little bit more technical skill about them rather than Diego Costa, who's quite similar to him. So, I mean, Morata's just been in unbelievable form. I'm sure we'll talk about that later, but
oh, yes.
Vitolo and Correa played really well around him.
Correa, in his past five appearances, has a goal and three assists. Also two yellow cards, but a goal and three assists. And this is quite the run he's on. And yeah, it's interesting you mention that, because Vitolo was the one who started this game up top, with Correa dropping deep to the wing. And you see that and you're like, oh god, Cholo, what are you doing? But no, it worked, because they did interchange positions a bit. Vitolo ended up dropping deeper to the wing by the time he was removed. They both played really well, by the way, and we will touch on Vitolo. But I'm really happy for Correa, because he's a guy that we have criticized, and he's a guy that we put under the microscope, but he's really responded. And I wonder what's going to happen with him after the international break, because you assume João Félix will be healthy. The now 20-year-old João Félix will be healthy. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Correa.
Well, we know Simeone loves him, and he was crap, basically, from the second half of last season through the first few matches of this season. But he's really hit a good patch of form here, so you don't want to take him out of the team. And I have to be honest, I really liked the midfield setup today. I think it worked quite well. Just sort of thinking, I mean, obviously Saul playing at left back isn't ideal, but ignoring that, Koke, Tomas, Hector Herrera, and Vitolo / Correa is a pretty solid midfield. all things considered, I mean, it worked quite well. It seemed very balanced. Everyone was involved. And I liked the way that it worked today.
This was a really good team selection. I really liked the team selection. And the defense was probably my least favorite part of it. Felipe and Hermoso as a pairing just hasn't really worked. Hermoso in particular just hasn't really convinced me. He seems kind of shaky, unsteady still. And Atletico have conceded in each of the last four games in which he and Felipe have played together.
Yeah, I think of those two, Felipe is the one that's really earned his spot at the center of defense.
Hermoso just, there's something about him that just does not convince. He's not great with the ball at his feet. He looks, I wouldn't say nervous, but he's a little unsure, a little unsteady. It's a weird one with him.
Yeah, and it is weird. I don't know if it's some kind of adaptation thing. I'm not willing to write him off at this point. But I think certainly Felipe has done better than him. And, you know, if Savage and Jimenez hadn't been hurt, neither of them would be playing at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be really important that Jimenez and Savage are healthy after this two-week break. It's going to be really nice to see them back. Felipe and Hermoso held their own. That's your backup central defense pairing. That's a pairing that you don't want to play more than one or two games consecutively. Like, ideally, you'd like to play them together once and then go back to your first choice pairing or some mixture of the two. They have played four times together in the last 12 days or so.
Yeah, ideally, they're the teams you play in the cup. Or in a meaningless Champions League game. That's sort of the pairing you're looking at with those two guys.
Yeah, and goals conceded in all four games. Only one of them was a win, this one on Sunday. And, yeah, it's going to be really good to have Jimenez and Savage back.
And Trippier kind of had a really nice bounce-back game, I think.
Yeah, especially defensively. Trippier had made some really nice decisions defensively.
Yeah, after a pretty shocking last match, we wanted to see him bounce back.
Yeah, at Sevilla, that was a horror show.
Yeah.
Like, my God.
So, good to see him bounce right back. Clearly, Diego Simeone really likes him, I think. We've seen that from the beginning of the season. He just sort of fits. I mean, I think we were skeptical, but once you sort of see him in a Diego Simeone team, you're like, yeah, all right, I get it. I get why he's a preferred player.
He's got the aggressiveness. He's got technical ability. Just has to keep working defensively. And other than the Sevilla game, maybe a couple other displays, but overall he's been solid defensively. He was very good again on Sunday. But yeah, like I said, the team selection was really good. Spearheading it all, of course, Rob, is the hottest man on earth, Alvaro Morata. 6 goals in 6.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about his goal-scoring form or him as a general person, but yeah, no, he's on fire. Yeah.
Could be one, could be the other.
Could be not a bad-looking chap, but yeah, no, he's on fire. That's for damn sure. And
he is just...
I mean, if Atletico didn't have him, it would be bad news.
6 goals from his last 6, and from 9 shots on target, too. Are we seeing the emergence or the blossoming of Morata the killer? Because this is a guy who throughout his career has kind of been denigrated for missing easy chances, not finishing chances, letting his team down, things of that nature.
Well, I think the thing about him at Atleti is that this is a team that really plays to his strengths, that wants to hit the ball long and have him get up there and win headers. And then when he gets into the box, you're starting to see sort of him being able to win the headers and stuff and be an integral part of the team. That translates into him being confident and taking chances. I mean, his goal today was just a cold striker's goal. It wasn't a header. He was in the box. It was a great pass into him, and he just blasted it in at the near post. And it was tremendous. I mean, clearly he's on great form at the moment, but... He's never really been at a team that's given him the keys, totally. I mean, Chelsea tried to, but that was a weird situation in general. And at Juve, there was a lot of other stuff going on. But now this is really his line to lead up front. And I think that's done him a world of good.
He's got the confidence. right now.
Big time.
You can see he's a player that has a lot of confidence. The goal he scored, excellent build-up play here. It starts with Koke, but Hector Herrera is really the key to this. He springs Vitolo free. Vitolo kind of goes on his run, perfectly weighted ball through to Morata, who really just uncorks this one. Quite a bit of spice on this shot. And you see the replay, the camera from inside the net. It's a really good finish. It has that camera angle shows you how close this was. He curled it in very neatly inside the post. Diego Lopez really had no chance. It's just a great goal from a striker who very clearly is high on confidence right now. It was a great goal.
Oh, it absolutely was. I mean, it's kind of like an old-school Diego Costa goal in a lot of ways. I mean, it was just no doubt about it. Once that ball got into him, it was, like you said, it was a great ball into him, and he took it excellently.
He's just on fire. And without him, Atletico would be in a worse position. For sure.
To say the least, yeah.
Yes. And it wasn't a goal with his head either, Rob.
No, exactly. and that's the thing, is he's leading the line really well now. He's bringing his teammates in. He makes the people around him better. It's not just him being on fire individually. He is helping the players around him. I mean, think about Correa. Correa being paired with him has totally brought him out of this rut of terrible form he was in.
It's brought him to life. That pairing is just so good, and it's going to be a good headache for Simeone to have to, all right, am I going to break them up? Am I going to play Correa and Felix together? What am I going to do here? Because these two have great chemistry. It's obvious.
Yeah, and I think Vitolo certainly reestablished himself. I mean, obviously the problem there is he just needs to stay fit.
Yes, definitely give a shout-out to Vitolo, who had played just 42 minutes since his return from injury. I wrote about this after the Leverkusen debacle, is why Vitolo only got on the pitch when Atletico were 2-0 down, and by some amazing coincidence, Atletico started playing better when Vitolo got on the pitch. So maybe Cholo was reading, maybe he wasn't. But Vitolo started this game, played 75 minutes, and he was just excellent.
Yeah, he's been tremendous so far this season. But it's been really impressive to see him take that step forward, because in his first couple seasons with Atleti, he's sort of been unconvincing. But now this season, he really looks like he knows what his role is in the team, and he's really thriving in it.
When he's been fit, yeah, he's been a key cog. Three key passes on Sunday, three dribbles completed, just kind of this trademark aggression and explosion that he's had really since his Sevilla days when he broke out at Sevilla. This was a really good performance from Vitolo, and this is the kind of guy that you signed.
Yeah, it was the guy that we were hoping Atleti signed when he first came to the club.
And for sure. Another guy who had kind of a similar, not display, but a similar thing happened to him in that vein was Herrera. Rob, this is the kind of game that, at least for me, I envisioned Herrera playing when Atletico signed him, but we haven't seen yet because Cholo hasn't counted on him too much. But this is the kind of box-to-box display that you sign Herrera to put on.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really impressed with him in the games that he's played. You and I have talked about it a bunch, about how it's kind of confounding how he hasn't played more to this point. He's just a really well-rounded player. He can do a lot of things very well. He's solid defensively. Going forward, you trust him to go on a run and make the crucial pass. He's just a solid player.
Played all 90 minutes. I think this was his best performance in red and white. I mean, other than the very dramatic equalizer against Juventus, he was just kind of everywhere. Five shots, led Atletico with five shots. Really just offered balance, solid passing, contributed in both attacking and defending phases of the game. This is who he was at Porto and who he's been for Mexico for years. Just a really solid midfielder who will offer himself in transition. And like I said, it was his pass that sprung Vitolo free that effectively created the winning goal. That's the kind of player he is. He's just a really solid midfielder. Doesn't do anything amazingly well, but he does a lot of things, a lot of little things really well.
Well, fair play to him. I mean, through the first few weeks of the season, he wasn't even really being considered for the first team in La Liga. But nevertheless, in all of the matches that he came on as a sub or whatever, he's played really well. And that's a credit to him. And now that he's sort of getting his chance in the first team, he's looked really good. So one would hope that he would continue to keep that place, because Llorente has struggled in his first team appearances. So I think certainly Herrera has earned his spot, at least as the first man off the bench, if not starting.
Yeah, and Herrera's going to be counted on again after the break, as both Thomas Partey and Saul are suspended for the visit to Granada, both with yellow card accumulation. Thomas had a tough game, I would say. His error kind of led to the first goal, and he did try to make up for it, though. Played the ball over the top to Morata, which allowed him to set up the equalizer. But yeah, Thomas has had a couple moments. We saw it on Wednesday with the own goal. He's had some moments the past few games that have kind of taken some of the sheen off his early season performances. I still think he's been Atletico's best midfielder this year, but he's made a couple mistakes that against Leverkusen, it really hurt Atletico, and this time around Atletico had enough firepower to bounce back.
Yeah, it hasn't been a great run for him, but you know, considering how good he was to start the season, you'll take a little bit of a rut, and maybe the international break is going to come at a good time for him,
because he has played a lot.
Thomas has played an absolute ton.
Yeah. He's been playing a lot of football because Simeone has really, really counted on him.
Although, and you know, started to defend him a bit, the Sergi Darder goal was a bit ridiculous. I mean, it was a great shot, but for the most part, that goal isn't going in most times. So I'm willing to give him a break over giving up that mistake, but, you know, that was a ridiculous goal.
Yeah, that one was a hefty 0.05 XG.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, Atleti have given up some screamers in the past few games, it feels like.
And that's a tough one, yeah. Oblak didn't have a chance, really, at all to save it. Thomas tried to play a short pass to Koke, who wasn't ready for it. And then, to make matters worse, Thomas went for the slide tackle that he just missed completely. And Sergi Darder has this chance from the very edge of the area. And it goes at the far post.
And at that point, you think about the Lucas Perez goal against Alaves. They've given up some really low percentage chance opportunities, which is really annoying.
Yes, it was kind of the same thing as that goal.
It really was, except from a right footer. Yeah, I mean, I like Sergi Darder as a player, but man, that's really irritating.
Okay, the third goal. Let us address the third goal. Atletico, even at 2-1 up, pressed a little bit. Again, speaking to that change in the approach, that change in the aggressiveness that was sorely lacking in these last three games away from home. Diego Costa sets it up.
Yeah, really good. Kind of a bit of a throwback to the Diego Costa that used to be paired with Radamel Falcao when he was sort of the provider a lot of the time.
Yes. You think back to the goal in the Copa del Rey final.
Yep.
And absolutely. Yeah.
He made that run down the right, and Koke was wide open in the middle. And that was a pretty easy goal in the end, but Diego Costa did really well to create that opportunity.
That goal was kind of like the olden days. Koke plays kind of a long ball to Costa, who kind of bulldozes his way ahead. But this time, Costa is the one on the wing, crossing it. Herrera with a really excellent dummy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of capping off his really solid performance. And Koke is totally unmarked to slot home. Pablo Machin was pissed at his team. He was pissed.
Yeah, that was too easy of a goal. I mean, both Hector Herrera and Koke were wide open. Either of them could have taken that chance, and it probably would have been a goal.
But it's a good goal for Koke, too. As we know, has had kind of a tumultuous up-and-down start to the season. He was whistled a couple weeks back when Leverkusen came to visit. So really good for him to get a goal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Koke is never going to be, like, the catalyst of the team, but I think he's a really important player for Atletico in a lot of different ways. Not only is he the captain, but I think just in terms of the guy that can make things happen. And he's willing to play a lot of different roles, whether it's on the wing or centrally, but he's sort of the glue. He links stuff together.
Yeah, and that's something we've talked about for a long time on the pod, is he offers this cohesion and this versatility, does a lot of little things really well, and in this game he played mostly on the left, just offering himself as cover, winning the ball, circulating it pretty accurately, and then he gets rewarded with a goal at the end. So very positive for him. He goes into the break on a high note, so maybe this is a turnaround for Koke. Overall, this was a good performance from Atletico. 18 shots, 5 on target. Espanyol's only shot on target was their goal. Which, what do you do about that?
Of course.
Again, it was a tough one because of the Tomas error, and Oblak doesn't really have a chance to save it. But Atletico badly needed this. This could have been another trap. Espanyol had quite the midweek fixture against Ludogorets. They won 6-0 at home to clinch their place in the Europa League round of 32. And then they come back to Earth in La Liga. They are 5 points adrift of safety, 2 wins from 13. They have the league's worst defense by goals conceded.
Well, and the baffling thing is that they have good players. I mean, you look at their team, it's like, why are they not doing better than they are? I mean, they have players that have tons of La Liga experience, and then kind of some weird, kind of interesting guys, and Facundo Ferreira, who was good for Shakhtar forever, and Wu Lei, who's like the greatest Chinese player ever. It's just like, what is this team really?
I don't think they ever like truly replaced Borja Iglesias or Mario Hermoso. They lost two really important players really close to when the season started, because Iglesias's move to Betis was really protracted. That didn't get done till like the very end of July, and neither did Hermoso's move. So you've already started Europa League qualifiers, and those two guys, the transfer window closes in a month, and you're going to lose those two guys. Just the inability to replace them is tough. But Espanyol do have some good players here. Mark Roca almost moved to Bayern this summer.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Sergi Darder is a solid midfielder. They have a couple really good young fullbacks. They don't really have that reference point up front. And Calero was their big defensive reinforcement this summer. They got him and provided the lead, and he's kind of been trash.
Yeah, and they have Jonathan Caleri, who's never really made it in Europe. He was pretty awful for West Ham when he moved there, and it wasn't great for Alaves or Las Palmas.
Yeah, Caleri has always confused me, because he's kind of a bruiser. Really good in the air. Should be able to finish chances when he gets them, but he just doesn't finish them.
Classic Argentine center forward, like, beats the crap out of defenders, but doesn't score do anything goals else like that.
Yeah, no shots, like 8 headers, 1 though. He's one of those guys.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Yeah, they really don't have a focal point. I mean, I also totally forget that Iturraspe is on that team, but he hasn't played. It's like, what's going on there?
Didn't you used to be under Iturraspe?
I mean, under Iturraspe was awesome.
Yeah, there was a time at Athletic when he was breaking through about 5 or 6 years ago, I thought he was going to be a star. Like, in the national team every year, star.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was one of those Athletic players that you're like, oh, man, this guy's really good. But then they'd never move, and you're like, okay, you're kind of stagnating a little bit here, Chief.
Yeah, Athletic actually released him.
Is crazy.
They let him go. He was out of contract.
Right. So, yeah, Espanyol, I don't know what's going on with them. You feel like they should be better than bottom three in the league.
I was worried about them because I don't think they replaced their two best players. That's usually not a good way to start a season, by failing to replace two of your, I don't know, three best players. Sure. But, yeah, it was a tough window for them, and Pablo Machin has a lot of work to do on his hands.
Well, and it doesn't help that literally none of their players have scored more than one goal in La Liga this season.
They have 7 goals from 13 games.
That's horrible.
It's not good.
I think Atleti are bad going forward. That's terrible.
It's not good.
No.
And Atletico scored 20% of their league goals for the season on Sunday.
Which also is not good, but, you know, you'll take it, given the circumstances.
Yeah, so it's difficult for Espanyol. The relegation zone is... You have 2 league mainstays. 3 if you add Leganés. You have those 3 teams in the drop zone right now.
I think Leganés count. I mean, they've been in La Liga for a good few years now.
Yeah, this is their 4th year in a row in La Liga.
Yeah. That would be huge if that's the bottom three. I don't think it will be. But, I mean, you got to give it to the newly promoted teams. They've been brilliant since coming out.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, Mallorca, you know, they're towards the bottom of the table. But
They got a big win over Villarreal.
Exactly.
A little lucky, but they got a really big win over Villarreal. Granada and Osasuna are both in the top half. Atletico are visiting Granada after the break. They've lost 3 in a row, unfortunately for them. But that's going to be a tough one because they have been kind of high flyers this year. And we talk about the state of the league and where things are with the title race, if you can start calling it that, kind of shaping up to be a really good one. Atletico now 1 point behind Barcelona and Madrid, those two have the game in hand. Sevilla are level on points with Atletico. Real Sociedad are 1 point behind those two. You know, there's still 5 points separating first from ninth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. I mean, it's wide open this year in a way that it hasn't been in recent years.
Yeah,
so
we're effectively a third of the way through the season now. So we can kind of start to talk about trends and where these teams are, and there are still plenty of twists and turns to go. So there's still so much time left in the season, but how do you feel about Atletico's status in La Liga right now? How are you feeling about them?
I mean, you think about it, and as recently as 2011, 2012, Atletico were nowhere near it, locked to be in the top three, but it does feel to me as if at this point in the season that they're going to finish in the top three regardless, which we shouldn't really take for granted, even though it feels kind of disappointing that they've sort of slipped in terms of the opportunity to go clear at the top of the table. It's concerning how good Barcelona have been since Lionel Messi's come back. Shocker, he's pretty good. I don't think Real Madrid are that good. It's really looking at Barcelona and hoping that they slip up at some stage.
There is still an opportunity here. Like, there are going to be... Like, you can't declare anything done and dusted until Atletico and Barcelona play on December 1st.
That's a humongous game.
And I know Atletico have already missed chances to pick up points on Barcelona and Madrid. They, especially these last couple games away at Alaves and Sevilla, you threw away points there. But Atletico are still in this. This could be a lot worse than it is.
Well, and you think about the top three, Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Atletico, all three are very flawed in different ways, granted, but no team is a juggernaut this season.
I mean, Barcelona have the best player and arguably the best playing squad, but their defense is just a nightmare. Madrid actually may have a stronger playing squad, but they're always a ticking time bomb.
Well, and they're aging, I think. We're starting to see the decline for some of their superstar players. And the guys they brought in haven't exactly hit the ground running either.
And I think Atletico have flaws of their own, as we've discussed.
Oh, yeah.
And Sevilla have a lot of moving parts. You know, credit to Lopetegui for coming back to La Liga with his head held high and guiding this team into fourth. They beat Betis on Sunday in El Gran Derby. And Real Sociedad have been excellent this year. Talk about entertaining. That's the team to watch.
Well, and I think the thing about Atleti that's encouraging is that to this point they've been quite unlucky in terms of the goal-scoring opportunities that they've missed to this point in the season. So you feel like at some stage that will come back around. It may not come back around completely. completely in terms of the points that they're expected to get, but even still, you'd rather be, you know, unlucky to this point and feeling like it's, you know, you might get it to turn around than being lucky and knowing that it's unsustainable.
There are plenty of points still up for grabs. That's the main takeaway here. And Atletico and Barcelona have their head-to-head on December 1st in Madrid. That is an absolutely giant game, regardless of the circumstances. Atletico have thrown chances away already this season, but there are going to be more to come. They're only a point off first place. And understat, per expected goals, Atletico are the unluckiest team in La Liga, with 15 goals for, but 22 expected goals. And that from that standpoint, that is encouraging that, hey, maybe we are going to see some goals here at some point in the near future, hopefully.
Yeah. Ideally, that comes back around, and you would think that it would. But really, that Barcelona game is really looming large at this point.
Yes, and we talked about this, the nasty little run of fixtures after the break, because you have Granada away, then you have Juventus away, and then you have Barcelona.
Yeah, the Champions League thing is weird. It seems like Atleti are in a pretty solid position to lock up the group, despite the pretty horrible result against Bayer. But, yeah, that's not a great run of games there.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, lots of fun.
So, yeah, a positive Sunday and some positive momentum going into the international break, with La Liga still very tight, and after the break, Atletico should be at full health entering that game at Granada. And yeah, the Champions League still looks pretty good. The loss in Germany complicates things, and if you lose in Turin, things get even more complicated, potentially. So you don't want to do that.
Indeed.
But we'll see what happens there. All right, Rob, that is about all I've got. Anything for you?
Yes, indeed. No, I am good.
All righty. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Colts Narrow Chat. Rob Walker, my guest, thank you so much for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. I'm on Twitter at jbbaron, Into the Calderon, at Into the Calderon. You can find all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts, and become a Colts Narrow Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. We're going to be doing bonus pods during this international break.
Oh, absolutely. We have to.
We must.
We got some stuff to talk about.
patreon.com/ColtsNarrowChat. You can see the bonus pods that we have to offer, and feel free to give a listen. And thank you for your support, current amigos. Adios.